Are you healthy this morning? Well, relatively healthy. Would you stand? So we read the Word of the Living God today. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to begin this morning. And the Apostle Paul, from a prison in Rome, says these words. He says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, life stinks. This dungeon, this cell, is humid and terrible. It's got rats in it." Now wait. "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. And it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." Father, we come before You this morning in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house. Why? To worship You in spirit, to worship You in truth. We come into this Jesus community to meet Jesus and to connect with Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that You would bless this assembly this morning, and God, You would open our hearts that we might freely receive the things that You would speak into our lives. Lord, we pray this for Your glory and for Your kingdom. We pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love the Lord would say, Amen. You all may be seated. By the way, it's really cool to see Dale and Karen Walters are hiding in the back over there. Do you guys remember over yonder, right? It's good to see you guys. You can't miss Dale. He just looks so manly and Kojak-y, you know. And Sid and I went up and hung out at their house. They're just the most beautiful people. Talk about people in our church that God has used. Walters is another amazing couple. Yep, big time. Give them a round of applause. You guys are awesome. I love you, the Walters. A few weeks ago, I hung out with another really cool guy that's a part of really this community, and it's Rabbi Feldman. How many people here have ever gone to Shuva on a Saturday? You know, we have something really cool planned. A few weeks ago, when I was Rabbi Feldman, and we were just, you know, hey, how's Shuva doing? How are we doing? How's this? How's that? Here's the other. And as we cruise into Easter, we're going to do a series called 24, and we're going to go through the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. On Palm Sunday, we've asked Rabbi Feldman to come on a Sunday night and do a Passover meal for our church. It's called a Seder, and it's really cool. What we're going to do is we're going to kind of relive the upper room. Rabbi Feldman's going to come, and we're going to serve like the exact meal that Jesus and His disciples would have eaten that night before He died. It's called the Passover meal. It's a Jewish Seder, and it's going to be awesome, and we'll keep you posted on that. But we're just so blessed to have them here. Did you ever hear the story of how I met Rabbi Feldman? I came back from Israel in 2006. I had led a trip there, and by the way, I'm going to do another one in 2020. Put that in the back of your head. Walk in the land of Jesus. And he walked in one day, and he's a Messianic Jew, and he walks in and he says, "God wants us to worship in this place." I said, "Hi, who are you again?" Gives me his card, and he says, "I need to speak to somebody of influence." I said, "Well, you can talk to me." And so we ended up, I'm like, man, I just came back from Israel. I love the Jewish nation. We love the Jewish people. We love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We go out to, I grab one of our chairmen of the board, and I said, "Let's go out to breakfast." We go out to breakfast over here at Ruby's, and we sit down, and the waiter comes around, and we're just getting ready to order. "Do you like bacon?" How many people in here like bacon? "What do you like bacon? What do you like to eat bacon with?" "Eggs." "What else?" "Hot dog." "How about bacon, lettuce, and tomato? Anyone like those sandwiches? How about bacon like spread on even green beans? Doesn't bacon make everything taste better?" "I like bacon on eggs." She comes here to take my order, and I'm looking, and I'm just about ready to say bacon, eggs, and I thought for a minute, I said, "What are you doing? I looked over at him. I looked at her and I said, I'll have your Three Bears oatmeal. Our chairman of the board orders, I'll have bacon and eggs. And I got, my eyes got all big and I kind of looked over toward Larry, Rabbi Feldman. Was that wrong to do that? Don't answer that, by the way, because we are going to answer that here. Welcome to our, I think this is our fifth Sunday in a series that we're doing called Healthy Church. The Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, was in a really famous Pharisee. He was a religious Jew who was hanging out with the high priest in Jerusalem. He was an incredibly young Jewish Pharisee rising up through the ranks of Judaism who found himself persecuting Jesus' followers. And as a matter of fact, as he was heading to Damascus to arrest anybody in Damascus that claimed the name of Jesus, he met Jesus. Jesus blinded him for 3 days. The apostle, his name is Hebrew's name Saul, Greek name Paul. He became a believer. He became the 12th apostle. The apostle Paul became probably one of the greatest influences of the first century. There'd be Jesus and then there'd be the apostle Paul. Paul went all over the Roman world preaching Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote half of our New Testament. The Apostle Paul got in trouble in Jerusalem and got arrested. The Jewish people there saw him as a traitor. They wanted to kill him. He ended up getting thrown in jail, stayed there for 3 years in Caesarea. They shipped him off to Rome. He's awaiting trial in Rome. And there's a church that he planted in Greece, in the city of Philippi, that found out where he was, and they sent Paul a financial gift because he was in trouble. And he picks up a pen and writes the letter that we've been studying here these last weeks, the book of Philippians. The letter, this 4 chapters, is a letter of Paul's thank you for the financial gift. It's an update on what he's doing, and then Paul just goes for it and begins to write probably one of the most beautiful letters in the New Testament. And when you study this letter, it is very heartfelt and warm. Paul is not confrontational at all in the letter. He's writing to a healthy church. It's a healthy church. Not perfect, but healthy. What I mean by that is they understand Jesus. They understand the gospel. They're not fighting amongst each other who's better than someone else. And they're not like the church in Galatia that's struggling with the very gospel itself. They're not the church in Corinth that was just a mess beyond belief. It's a healthy church. And Paul writes this beautiful letter. And there's verses in this letter that are some that you would just want to memorize. Like, he who's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Paul says, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul rolls into the second chapter and writes the most beautiful section of Jesus, the nature and the heart of Jesus that theologians just write books about. But he talks about Jesus being in the image of God, emptying himself and serving you and loving you. And then as he rolls out of that, he says, you all need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's good. You should. God would do this. You know, when you were singing, we love you, Lord. Well, you know, he loves you so much more. He serves you so much more. It's awesome. In Philippians 3, Paul is sitting in a prison and he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Who's writing this and from where? He's in jail. And he's reminding the church that's not in jail, rejoice in the Lord. Why would we rejoice in the Lord? Because of who I described in Philippians 2. Do you see him? Do you see the nature and the heart of the Almighty God? Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I have no problem, say it in again. Rejoice in the Lord. It's no problem for me. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Are you joyful? Can you rejoice in the Lord? There's a guy in a prison telling you to rejoice. Can you? Do you? The more you meditate on who Jesus is, the more you rejoice. Right? To rejoice in the Lord. And then there's this interesting tone. It's all happy. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he tells us, it's almost like he's a Papa Bear. He grabs his shepherd's staff and he begins shepherding again. He says, watch out, healthy church. Watch out for, he calls them spiritual dogs. Watch out for these people that are coming, that have come. Listen to this. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in the Messiah, Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. It's a total change of like, rejoice, watch out. Who are the dogs that Paul's talking about? Does Paul sound kind of mean? You need to understand something. 2,000 years ago, you people freaked out the first century Jewish believers. What do I mean by you people? I mean by you non-Jews. Who in here is not Jewish? Raise your hand. You're the ones. You freaked out the first century Jewish believers when God gave you the privilege of His salvation and grace through the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. When God chose to save you people too, you shocked even the apostles. Peter, James, and John. Everybody. In Acts chapter 10, an interesting event takes place. The apostle Peter is down in Joppa. He's down by the beach. And he's praying, and he has this vision. It says this in Acts 10, 14 through 17. This vision comes down, and all of these things that are not kosher to eat, bacon-wrapped shrimp comes down, right? All these things. And there's this voice that says, eat. In Acts 10, Peter, who is a Jewish man, says, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. A voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon Peter was, and stopped at the gate. So Peter is getting this message from God, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and a group of people came down from Caesarea, and it's from a guy named Cornelius. Who's Cornelius, people? Who knows? He's a Gentile, a God-fearer. He's a Gentile who's seen the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and believes in Him. And there's a vision that says, Cornelius, you want to find out who the God is? Go down to Joppa and find a dude named Peter. And then God's working with Peter. Peter, I need to talk to you about your Jewishness. What I say is clean, you don't declare as unclean. And then all of a sudden, Cornelius, people show up. Peter goes for a walk, about 40 miles up to, that's a little walk, isn't it? Peter goes into the house. He's never even went in a Gentile's house, ever. But he goes into this guy's house, very uncomfortable. And reluctantly, he begins to tell this group of people about Jesus, the gospel of our salvation. And as he's telling them about Jesus, they believe. And the Spirit of the Lord comes on them, just as the Spirit of the Lord had came upon all the Jewish believers in Acts chapter 2. Peter, stunned and shocked. So you guys freaked him out. He's stunned that God chooses to save Gentiles by Jesus as well. And when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, he gets in trouble. Listen to this. Acts 11:2 through 4. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, that's the Jewish believers, criticized him. They took issue with him and said, "You went to the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with him?" And starting from the beginning, Peter told the whole story. "Man, I understand. I'm down in Joppa. Vision, Jesus, unholy, unkosher foods, and this, that, and the other." He tells the story. Now, I want you to listen to this, and I want to use the NASB. It's a great translation. Listen to this. It says, when they heard this, they quieted down. When they're hearing what Peter explains it to them, they quiet down, and they glorify God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life." Do they sound very excited? Do they sound very excited? They sound shocked, stunned. They didn't see it coming that the Jewish Messiah is to the Jew first and to the Gentile second. But they should have, because on the walls in Genesis, from the seed of Abraham, the Messiah, all families of the world will be blessed. We know now that God, Jesus the Messiah, saves every nation, tribe, and tongue, people, to be a God. But they were in their journey and they were like, "I don't believe it. This is awesome." When you people got saved, sticky questions came into the church. When you got saved, when Gentiles were allowed to be entered into the kingdom, when the blood of Jesus worked, not just for a Jew, but for a Gentile, sticky questions came into play. Now, before we really deal with that, I just want to do this. Here's a nice bag. Isn't that a nice bag? Nice Woodbridge bag. We give these out on Mother's Day. We're going to play a game. I want you to think about all your collective Sunday school training and so forth. You in here are saved, Gentiles, yes? What are the key elements that goes into your salvation? What is the ingredients that goes into you being saved? Born again? So that means we've got to be born of the Spirit, right? Okay. I'm going to write eternal life. How about, I'm going to give you one. Sin. Right? Sin. Without sin. Elements that goes into it. How about holiness? How about holiness? God is holy, and you're a sinner. Am I right? How does God, who's holy, dwell with sin? He can't. Are you morally perfect? Anyone? I realize you're probably a really good person. Does anyone here have moral perfection? Anyone? Do you know what I'm a good person. How good do you have to go to heaven? Jesus says, "Be ye perfect." For everyone else, there's the gospel. The good news. You've got sin, spirit, you've got faith, right? Faith or belief. Very important. Power. Power of what? Power of the resurrection. Power that Jesus' blood could cleanse you of all your sin and shame before a holy God. Right? Repentance is very important. If you don't repent, you know the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. First message. First words. Forgiveness. Ooh, that's good. Forgiveness goes in the gospel bag. God's forgiven you. He's made you righteous. I love it. Not your righteousness, but His, right? Good, good. What goes in here? You being Jewish. No? Does this go in here? That was the question of the first century. Does Gentiles need to become Jewish? Does Dr. Carr need to become a Jew in order for the blood of Jesus to fall upon his life and wash him clean? Does my brother sin? Does he need to become Jewish in order to be qualified for the blood of Jesus to wash him clean of his sin? Answer? This was the question. Do you need to become Jewish to be saved? See, sticky things happen when God chose to save you Gentiles. Do you need to obey the dietary laws of Moses in order to be saved? Years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, the apostles in Jerusalem had called a church council to talk about this issue. Did you know that? This was big. It was the first Jewish council. The church was mostly Jewish. And then Gentiles were all of a sudden getting saved. You freaked people out 2,000 years ago. Listen to this. I just want to read it through. It's an easy read. Acts 15, it says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching believers, unless you're circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you can't be saved. Is that true? People are teaching it. This brought Paul and Barnabas in a sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted, even you. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees. These are Jewish believers that are ex-Pharisees. Stood up and said, Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. You need to be Jewish. The apostles and the elders met together to consider this question. After much discussion, I wish I could have been there. Peter gets up. Remember him, Cornelius? And addresses them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made me a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. Belief. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith, belief. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on their necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, Peter says, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just like they are. The whole assembly became silent and they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among Gentiles. I want you to take notes this morning. What did Peter just say at that council? Remember Peter? Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. It's Peter. Peter gets up. Peter says this in Acts 15, very important. They/we do not need to observe the laws of Moses to be saved. Peter stops the Pharisees from throwing that one in the bag. No, he says, no. No. They and we, Shuva and Woodbridge, the Messianic Jews here yesterday, Gentiles, Messianic Jews today here, we're all saved by the same thing. We're saved, write this down, we are all saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says. You are not saved by observing the laws of Moses. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Write that down, not just in your notes, but in your heart. It's a key foundational teaching of the Christian church, of Jesus. It's so cool because as this is going on, Jesus' half-brother James pipes in, who's the pastor in Jerusalem. And then James says this. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this. The Bible, the Old Testament, does say this, as it is written. After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins will be rebuilt and I will restore it. The rest of mankind may see the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things. Things known from long ago. It is my judgment, then he says, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles returning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from meat of strangled animals, from blood, and so forth. Does James, the half-brother of Jesus, agree with Peter? Answer? Yes. Does he agree on what goes in the gospel bag? Yes. Yes. Acts 15 is a vindication of Gentile freedom from the non-moral laws of the Moses or the Torah. But it's also a caution to the Gentiles in their expression of that freedom. James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus, is concerned about table fellowship that is to take place between Gentiles and converts and Jewish Christians who are still zealous about the Old Testament food laws. Such table fellowship would include celebration of the Lord's Supper. James writes to the Gentile believers to be cautious in their freedoms so that the Christian fellowship can take place between Jews and non-Jewish cultures. This is what I was thinking about at Ruby's. I wanted bacon and eggs. But I'm having fellowship with somebody who maybe would be offended if I ordered bacon. By the way, it's bad for you. Did you know that? Very bad for you. One doctor said this, it's like eating poison. But it tastes so good. I'm sitting there with Rabbi Feldman, like, dude, I'm not going to order that. And my buddy over here did, and I went, ooh, and I looked over at Larry. And Larry kind of looked over at me, and he smiled. She said, what would you like? And Larry said, I'll have bacon and eggs too. James is talking about sensitivity of eating between Gentiles and Jews. I looked over at Larry. I think that's the only time he's probably ordered bacon. He did that because he saw that I knew what had just happened. And he's like, I don't want anything awkward here. This is not an issue. Do you know why I met with him? I wanted to find out, hey Larry, tell me about Shuv Israel. What do you guys believe? Do you guys believe in X? Is a Jew saved by being Jewish? Or by the blood of the Jewish Messiah? Is a Jew saved by obeying the laws of Moses? Or is a Jew saved by the blood of the Jewish Messiah? Because if you recall, faith, belief, that's it. And Larry totally, he's like, oh, brother, I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Me being Jewish doesn't get me into heaven. Good stuff. You see, even after the council, even after this council, people went behind Paul who didn't obey or come under the authority of that council. And still, as Paul was going around planting churches, people came behind and said, no, 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 no. You still have to become Jewish. Do you want to take joy away from a first century Gentile man? Tell them that they need to be circumcised in order for the blood of Jesus to work in their lives. Guys only, an amen on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, come on. Do you want to take joy away from a first century Gentile man who just accepted Jesus? Tell him that he needs to go be circumcised at the age of 30. You want to take joy away from a Gentile who wants to follow Jesus? Guys, count of three. That would take your joy away. One, two, three. Amen. Anybody at the age of 30 want to get circumcised? Anyone? In order for the blood of Jesus to work in your life, you've got to become circumcised? Really? Further, this is Paul in prison in Rome. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. It's a safeguard for you. But watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and we don't put any confidence in the flesh. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. I love it, right? It's good. Listen to this. Paul says this in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me. Paul says, I am more Jewish than anybody. Paul goes on to say in Philippians, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. He goes, there's no one more Jewish than me. And he says, and where did it get me? It got me fighting the Jewish rabbi, the Jewish Messiah. All of my flesh of my ancestry got me nowhere. God had to strike me down and blind me for 3 days so I could see. Paul says, all that I used to hold to, if I'm a good Jewish man, God will let me go to heaven. He says, I throw it all away and count it as garbage compared to knowing Christ. Listen to this. But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing you, he's singing that song. For the sake I've lost all things and consider them as garbage. Everything I lost, all this religious stuff I held on to, all these traditions, I threw them away and I consider them as garbage that I might meet the Messiah. New wine. New wine. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. Doesn't sound like Peter? It's by faith in Christ or in the Messiah, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Faith. You believe. Take notes. Paul says, there is no advantage of spiritual righteousness before God in being Jewish. That's what Paul says, a Pharisee. Just because I'm Jewish, I have no advantage of righteousness before God. Paul says, look at me. Look who I was before. I was a mess. Have you ever had walking pneumonia? You think you're healthy, but you're sick? That was Paul. I think I'm spiritually healthy. And Jesus strikes him down on the road to Damascus. You're a sick man. Take notes. You ready? Only Jesus makes you spiritually healthy. Amen. That was a shock to the first century. In Christ alone. Paul, in Philippians 3, talks to this healthy church, tells them to rejoice, tells them to watch out for anyone that would, to watch out for any person that would come and add to this bag that doesn't belong. Guard yourself from anyone who would tell you that you, in the first century, needs to become Jewish in order to be saved. Guard the message of God given to you. Know it and protect it. And in doing so, you are a healthy church. Does that make sense? Somebody comes knocking on your door this week with a really nice white shirt. And he tells you that in order for you to be accepted by God, you need to accept Jesus and obey the teachings of my church. You tell him no. You guard your family. You protect. You love them. But don't dare let anyone put anything in this bag. Someone comes to your church or your door this week and tells you the world's a mess. And you need to join my group, and if you work real hard, you become one of the special 144,000 found in the book of Revelation. Go to the Revelation class, you'll find out what that means. When a JW knocks on your door, says you need to work your way, it's Jesus plus you need to do this. If it's Jesus plus something, it's a lie. It's Jesus plus nothing. God on the cross did it all. It is finished. He didn't say, I did 90% of it, now you do 10. He did it 100%. If you add something in this bag and say it's Jesus plus being circumcised, you're taking away from what he did. And you're saying he's not as powerful as he is. And that's wrong. You discredit him. Paul is writing and saying, Philippians, last note, Philippians, healthy churches understand and protect the gospel. Philippians is a healthy church. Poor Galatians was buying into, they had to become Jewish. Paul's letter then was harsh. Who's bewitched you, he says to them. Hey, healthy church, do you want to stay healthy? Are you spiritually healthy in here? If you're spiritually healthy, stay healthy. Know the gospel and protect the gospel. Know the gospel and protect the gospel. Know the gospel. Protect the message of God. And if anyone is messing with you, you say no. Do I hear an amen? Read Philippians 3. Paul goes on to say, man, I've thrown all that away. He goes, I'm just pressing on to meet Jesus and know Jesus and to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul in a prison in Rome says, I just want to know him more. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the sufferings that take place. He goes, I press on. I'm past all this stuff. And he was really religious. He was a religious Jew. I'm past all this stuff. It's all garbage. I want to know God in a relationship through Jewish Messiah Jesus. Knowing Jesus. I leave this behind. He says, I'm pressing forward for what's ahead. That's a healthy church. You know what? Someone that wants to keep pressing into knowing Christ more. Philippians 3 is a great chapter. Do you know the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? Do you know that God loves you, cares for you, actually created you in his image? He's holy and you're not. He's provided holiness for you so you can live with him forever through his son Jesus. Jesus came down to earth and took all of your stupidity, all of your shame and guilt before a holy God and put it upon himself. He died, he paid the price so you don't have to. He purchases your way into heaven. He did all the work for you. He did it because you couldn't. No greater love than this than one would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends. You are my friends. The good shepherd dies for his sheep. And you just accept what he's done for you as a gift. That's freedom. Do you feel free in here? Do you know that God doesn't ask you to do 50 push-ups for him? God's not asking you to go to Africa and live there for the rest of your life, and if you do that, then I'll let you in heaven? He's not doing this. Isn't that nice? I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up. We're going to sing one song. The Altar. This is a great song, and I wanted to sing this song. It says, "Oh, come to the altar." And it says, "The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is found only." It's not, "Don't eat bacon and God will let you in." The Father's arms are open wide. Through Christ. It's a gift given to you. It's of grace. And you receive it by faith. You just say, "God, I understand it and I accept it." I want us just to come before the altar this morning. We're going to sing one song. Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here that you would help us to stir in the gospel. Lord, help us to come to the altar and to come before your presence with Jesus only. He's provided the way. Let's sing.